Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. For tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Friday to you. We've got a great program ahead for you. Here's my question. I love to open the show every day with a question. When you think about a day in the life of a pastor, how would you describe it? What would be your best guess about what life is like for a pastor? Think about it. Also, guess at this one. Do you think more people are praying for your pastor or more people are critiquing, criticizing, and assessing your pastor? We have a very important show for that very reason. Pastor Eddie Bunn joins us today. He's written an amazing book titled Praying for Your Pastor, How Your Prayer Support is Their Life Support. And our good friend Chip Ingram wrote the foreword on this book. I loved every word of this book. We're going to get him on in just a moment. A couple of quick announcements. If you've got a dream and a desire to be a published author, if you want to maybe write articles, maybe your bent is nonfiction or it is, historical fiction, whatever, we would love to invite you to our upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. And people ask me for advice regarding getting published, the first thing I always tell them is get yourself to a sizable, strong Christian Writers Conference. There are little conferences and then there are big conferences with a really loaded faculty, that kind of a thing. When I've done those conferences, I've really probably dropped $1,200, $1,500 to go. And it's an investment and it's worth it. But I just want you to know the Northwestern Christian Writers Conference, we are bringing in A-list faculty. It's one day only, Saturday, July 15th. And guess how much it costs? $150. You can do this, and you'll be so glad you did. Liz Curtis Higgs, best-selling author, international speaker, is our keynote. We're going to have some major, awesome worship. And like I said, we've got an A-list lineup of faculty. If you want more information, you'll find it on the website that we created just for this event. It's NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. So get there, sign up, and I hope to see you there. I'll be on the faculty as well. Also want to celebrate just the growth of Faith Radio, the growth of Live the Promise. If you're listening from one of our new markets, we say welcome to the family, and we're so grateful to be part of your life, your faith journey, and your community. If you're listening in for the first time on 1290 AM in Hartford or 94.1 FM in West Hartford, Connecticut, we're so grateful to do this life with you. Send me an email. Just let me know that this is the first you're hearing of Faith Radio. Susie@myfaithradio.com. And that goes for you listening in Waterloo on 93.1 FM and you listening in on Madison 104.7 FM, brand new signal there, and the Twin Cities 90.7 FM. And as always, if you're new to streaming online or through our new Faith Radio app, I want to know that too. So glad you tuned in today. Well, my guest today writes this. Excuse me. I often tell my congregation, your prayer support is my life support. In many ways, the pastor is under a wide range of attacks from the enemy. The attacks may come in various forms, such as gossip, criticism, slander, sickness, or even threats. There are days when your pastor feels emotionally burned out, physically exhausted, and spiritually weak. Some feel they just can't even go on. These experiences are far too common and come far too frequently. These are times when pastors need the life support of our prayers to keep them going. You may not know the struggles your pastor faces today, but you can know that your prayers will make a difference. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Eddie Bunn is a lead pastor of Crossway Mission Church in Seoul, South Korea. He's also professor of practical theology at Torch Trinity Graduate University. He's the author of Justice Awakening, How You and Your Church Can Help End Human Trafficking. He previously served as lead pastor at Onuri English Ministry, an English-speaking ministry of Onuri Community Church in Seoul, South Korea. You must know that he is up at 2 a.m. from South Korea to be on the phone with us. Eddie, I can't thank you enough. Nobody's ever gone to such heroic attempts to be on the show with us. God bless you, and thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure for me to be with you today.
Well, we love to start our conversation, Pastor Eddie, with Scripture, and you chose Acts 20:24. But I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Wow, that is a powerful, meaty passage. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of my life verse that God gave me when I was in high school. And it's a verse that really struck my heart in a really, really convicting way when I was young. And that's how I've dedicated my life to try to live, with my eyes fixed on Christ and wanting to finish the race, the task that he's given me to run. And so I signature that on all my emails because I want that to be the reality of my life as well.
Boy, and you know, Pastor Eddie, we could spend an hour on that passage because there's so much there about not giving account to our life. I mean, dying to ourselves. Remember Paul saying, you know, death for me means life for you. I don't think people have any idea how true that is for pastors, right?
Yeah. I mean, our whole lives are lived and invested and sacrificed for the sake of our congregation. And so, we do it out of love, but also it is filled with its challenges, too.
Indeed, indeed. Well, you opened the book with a story about a time when you got up to preach and you noticed a row of people with their arms in the air. Tell us that story and how it impacted you.
Yeah, I guest speak often in different places, and, you know, they'll have prayer teams and prayer ministries praying for me, and that's nothing new. But what was unique about this particular church that I went to is their prayer team and intercessory team during the worship service, they actually were in the back row, the back wall of the sanctuary, and their arms were lifted. This says Moses had his arms lifted when Joshua and the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites. And that had such not only a visible, sign of intercessory for me, but that created so much strength and encouragement for me just to kind of see visibly that they're interceding for me throughout the duration of my sermon. That gave me such a strengthening source of encouragement that I've never felt before.
Boy, I travel and speak as well. I'm kind of tempted to find them and say, hey, would you come on the road with me? I mean, truly, to have people standing on the wall like that, that's amazing. Well, Pastor Eddie, tell us some things that we may not know about the life of a pastor.
Yeah, the life of a pastor is one of deep, for many people, loneliness. They are often either projected as being perfect or more difficult than that, they're expected to be perfect. And I think a lot of times those expectations can really do a number on the emotional health and strength of a pastor. I listed various statistics that I was able to find, and it's really disheartening to see that most pastors, about 90% of them, they work incredibly long hours, and also 90% of them, they feel very inadequate, inadequately trained for the ministry demands that they face. So what they prepared for during seminary, they feel isn't accurately helping them for the day-to-day grind of ministry. And also a lot of them, they fight depression. About 70% of them, they struggle with depression. And more than half also felt that, they're so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they actually did have another job lined up right away.
Yeah.
And so just those things can surprise a lot of congregation members, but if a pastor hears them, they're probably not as surprised.
Say that last part again. It was a little muffled sounding.
Yeah, a lot of congregation members might be surprised to hear those stats, but if a pastor heard them, the pastor probably wouldn't be as surprised to hear these statistics.
Often when I have pastors on the show, I'll ask them, sometimes off the air, but I'll say, what makes you tired? And the number one answer that they offer time and time again, I'm wondering what you're answering in your head right now, but the answer that I hear over and over again is this: nitpicky Christians. Instead of believing the best, they are giving the benefit of the doubt or even interceding and praying, they nitpick. And just a caveat here so I don't get an email, this is not to say that we shouldn't go to our pastors with concern, but that's so different than building a case, assuming the worst, and having a heart of suspicion, as you say, expectation and judgment. Was that the answer you gave in your mind, or did you see it from a different angle?
Oh, no, that's definitely my top answer, too. I think the conflicts or the complaints from people definitely drain us the most. By far, yeah.
Boy, that's amazing. Well, in the book, you outline some answers as to why it is we need to be praying for our pastors. Let's take them one by one if we can. We've got a break coming up here in a few minutes, but let's tackle this one. Pastors face greater accountability.
Yeah, you know, pastors are put in a place of influence, you know, because of their platform. And, you know, James tells us how, you know, the tongue is a restless evil. And basically, those with greater visibility, like teachers and pastors, they'll be held to a greater responsibility because of their influence. And so it is important for us to see that pastors will have a day of reckoning in terms of giving account for that sphere of influence and for that platform that God has given us to influence, you know, the masses, whether it's tens, hundreds, thousands, or even more.
So, Pastor Eddie, based on what you know in Scripture, because we'll all give accounts. You're right. Scripture says they'll give. They have their. There's a standard for pastors. What do you envision that looking like before our most holy God? You know, we're saved by grace. Our sin is covered. But Scripture is so clear that there is a day of reckoning and a day of account for how we stewarded our time, treasure, talents. What do you envision that looking like for a pastor? What do you envision that looking like for the rest of us?
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. I think it's important for Christians to remember that our day of judgment is very different from the unbelieving world, mm-hmm. that our judgment day is not to determine, you know, salvation or not. It's going to be a day to determine, you know, gifts, rewards for a life of faithfulness lived for him. So it's our judgment day will be one where he will examine, ultimately, you know, through faith in Christ, our eternal destiny with him is secure. But then for the believers who are included in that adoption through Christ, we will have a day of judgment where we will have things tested through the fire, as Paul also reminds us. And it will be a time just to, you know, determine, have we been faithful to determine what kinds of rewards that we will receive from our Father in heaven? And so it's not something I don't think that we need to fear in terms of our faith, but it is something that we want to strive for faithfulness to be mm-hmm. really blessed and rewarded for a life of service to him.
Indeed. When you think about God moving on our faith and taking our offering and multiplying it, the Scripture talks about you don't want to be ashamed. And he's speaking to Scripture, to Christians, I mean, in Scripture, at the Lord's return, that there are some who are almost like barely saved. They get through the fire, right? They get through the fire by grace, but they have nothing to show for it. So for us, maybe part of our offering, definitely part of our offering, is how we steward our pastor. How do we pray for him, stand in the wall for him? That is our call. So we're going to be walking through a list on why we need to be praying for our pastors, talking to Pastor Eddie Bunn. We've got 5 copies of this very important book. I wish we had 20. It's titled Praying for Your Pastor, How Your Pastor's Support is Their Life Support. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're talking about the importance and the charge to pray for your pastor. Honestly, Javi and I travel around, speak at conferences, and one of the calls of God in our lives, we believe, is to bring strength to the church and specifically support and encourage those leaders and leave that church better than we found it. Over and over again, we hear from pastors what makes them tired is the nitpickiness of people who just, they have these impossible expectations on their pastors, and they nitpick and poke, and it wears them out. They're human. They have emotions. They have feelings. They need sleep. And this is why we're talking about this today. Pastor Eddie Bunn calling in from Seoul, South Korea. It is 2 a.m. for him right now, but he's joining us. He's got a book, an amazing book. I really wish every single Christian could read it. Praying for Your Pastor, How Your Prayer Support Is Their Life Support. We've got 5 copies. Email me if you want in on the drawing. Susie with an S. Susie at myfaithradio.com. Give me your mailing address and write pastor somewhere in that email so I know this is the book you want. So we talked about one of the reasons we pray for pastors is because they face greater accountability. They need our help. Number two is because they face greater attacks. Unpack that one if you would, Eddie.
Sure. You know, in any war, and even when we were watching the United States in war in the Middle East for various conflicts, the agenda when we're in battle is to really take out, the top leader. Because when the leader gets taken out, the rest is easier. And for Satan, his strategy is the same. Mm. He will attack the church. He will attack all of us in various capacities. But if he could take out the top leadership, the rest and the ramifications of that attack is going to be far worse and far more devastating. And, we're warned, too, in 1 Peter that the enemy, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And so we really need to cover our pastors and our top leadership in the church in prayer precisely because they will be under more attack because they're a strategic part of the spiritual battle of trying to lessen the influence and the impact of the church. And so the enemy will be intentional and focused on taking out our leadership.
Here's an excerpt from your book. If you take a look at the way pastors are struggling, according to a survey done by the Schaefer Institute, you realize that they are under heavy attack by the enemy. Here are some findings. And Eddie, I'd love to just read these and have you just speak to whatever ones stand out to you. 90% of the pastors report working between 55 to 75 hours per week. 90% 90% feel they're inadequately trained to cope with the ministry demands regarding their health and well-being. 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. 50% of pastors feel so discouraged that they would leave the ministry, as you said earlier, Eddie, if they had another job lined up. Concerning their marriage and families, 80% believe pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families. 80% of spouses feel pastors overworked. 80% of spouses feel left out and underappreciated by church members. And then regarding church relationships, 40% report serious conflict with parishioner at least once a month. And the number one reason pastors leave the ministry in the church, people are not willing to go the same direction and support the goal of the pastor. Pastors believe God wants them to go in one direction. People are not willing to follow. Are there any that stand out to you that you want to speak to, Eddie?
Yeah, in light of this talk about pastors, I think the spouses feeling underappreciated and left out, I've seen that happen quite a bit, in a lot of different ministry settings, not just our church, where the pastor, will get the spotlight, and unfortunately the spouse sometimes will not share in that. And so I've seen some, I've talked to a number of spouses where they feel like, for the rest of the congregation members, they married their husband or wife, but for the spouse of the pastor, they feel like they have to share their, the pastor, they have to share that marriage with so many other people. And so that becomes a source of attention and difficulty for some people. But also, as we talked about earlier too, the number one reason why pastors leave ministry is when they do feel the conflict, the complaining, the constant friction, and that does take its toll on the pastor, and so we really want to support them in whatever ways we can.
Boy, you think about a pastor trying to draw the line in the ministry to say, okay, this is where you end and I begin, because I'm going to go home to be with my wife and take her on a date, or I'm going to go to my son's ball game. It is a no-win for them, truly, because they're saying no to somebody always. And so somebody's always going to be disappointed, because the need in the pastorate is really a black hole. You could work 24 hours a day and still not tend to all the expectations and needs before you. How do you do that? How do you navigate that?
Yeah, you really have to be, set some boundaries and put your family as your priority ministry, your marriage and your family as a priority ministry, because you're right. Ministry is never ending. And I think that's part of the reason why it gets so stressful physically on the pastor's body, is because unlike most professions, you know, you could clock in and clock out and you go home, but literally a pastor is realistically really on call 24/7. Because when we get the phone calls at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., it's because there is going to be a life crisis for somebody's, you know, marriage or family or children. And so that switch can never be really turned off. And so that really takes its toll emotionally on so many pastors. And so I think it is important for pastors, and especially for parishioners, to know we need to give our pastors their time, you know, to invest into their marriage and invest into their family as well.
Wouldn't it be something, and maybe some churches have this in place, where they take turns being on call, where, you know, just like, you know, nurses and doctors, there's times they're on call and then there's times they're not. I mean, imagine even, I don't even think you get a deep breath if you're always on call 24/7, because you just never know, you know, when you're going to get the call.
That's right. Yeah, it does. I mean, it's like a constant level of stress that you have to kind of live with. But yeah, that's a great idea. We could rotate that on-call spot.
We got about 2 minutes before our bottom of the hour break, and so we can carry this to the other side. But another aspect that is so huge, I think, when you think about the attacks, is the attacks on the children. Because pastors are going out to minister, and even as a speaker, again, we had a son that was wandering and killing us, just breaking my heart. He's come back to the Lord now. But I mean, I know that pastors are preaching with, you know, they're bleeding under their armor because their kids are breaking their hearts. And so instead of compassion, maybe they're getting critique for that. And there's nothing they can do because the show must go on, so to speak. And yet they're ministering with this broken, broken heart over their son or daughter who's wandering. That happens more often than we think, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, the family is also under attack by the enemy. So we really have to cover them in prayer as well. Actually, one of my friends, I recently came back from Indonesia for a speaking engagement, and he shared with me how whenever my friend, who's a missionary in Indonesia, whenever he goes to guest speak or on a mission trip of his own, every single time he leaves his home, one of his family members gets sick without fail. He's been there for 7 years, and every single time he goes to an outreach or an evangelistic crusade or a revival meeting, one of his family members gets sick. And so it's a constant reminder to him that the battle is not just against him, but it is against his family too.
Boy, talking to Pastor Eddie Bunn, he's written an amazing book. I said this before, I truly wish every single one of us as Christians could read it because it's that important. Praying for Your Pastor, How Your Prayer Support Is Their Life Support. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how pastors are actually more effective when we intercede for them. Isn't that something? We've got 5 copies of this book. Love to get a copy into your hands. Give me an, let's see here, email me. That's what I wanted to say. Susie with an S. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address and put praying for your pastor or something like that in the body of the email so I'll know that this is a book you want. And we'll be back in a minute. Lord is returning for us. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there is a day when we give an account for how we stewarded our time, our treasure, our talents. And in this time, while we have breath in our lungs, we have a call to pray for our pastor. We have a call to pray for our pastor. We can't even imagine what life is like for them. They are more often on the receiving end of critique, criticism, unfair assessments, not being given the benefit of the doubt. And imagine how much strength they would find through the prayers of the saints. This is why we're called to it. This is why we're covering it today. Pastor Eddie Bunn joins me from South Korea. It is now probably 2:30 in the morning for him, but he stayed up to talk with me. I'm so grateful. Title of his book, Praying for Your Pastor, How Your Prayer Support is Their Life Support. 5 copies to get into your hands. So email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address and put pastor somewhere in that email. So we talked about pastors. They face greater accountability. We chatted about that they face greater attacks. Another reason to be praying for a pastor, you say, is that they're actually more effective when they're covered with intercessory prayer. Say more.
Yeah, that's right. You know, actually, our church went through this book together after it came out. I recently started a new church last year, and I can actually testify that once we got all of our church members committed to praying for me and the leadership of the church every day, people started to testify. They completely could tell a difference in our Sunday gatherings.
Wow.
They really could start to sense the presence of God in a more tangible and very thick way. And for me as well, I just started feeling a lot more in rhythm to so much of what I felt God was leading us to do. There's a lot more of a clarity to my thinking and even my sermon preparation. So there's a lot of benefits. And what's cool is, it's not just our church's testimony. There's actually a story that I share in my book as well about there's this a research group in Arizona that also did a study, and they committed these prayer groups to pray for the local leadership. Some prayed daily, some prayed weekly, some prayed monthly, and all of the pastors that were prayed for after that time period was finished, they all noticed heightened sensitivity to God working in their lives. They all noticed greater fruitfulness in their lives and their ministries. And what they also discovered is that the pastors who are prayed for daily is in proportion to how much more effectiveness they felt their ministry was becoming through prayer. And so they concluded through this study and this experiment that, yeah, prayer impacts and prayer matters in the lives of people, but also daily prayer matters even more than weekly or monthly prayers.
You know, I can't even imagine in the spiritual realm what that even does for the prayer, because when Scripture talks about, you know, when there's unity, God commands a blessing. So if we're all united in interceding as the Lord has called us to for our leader, I mean, what would it not only do for the pastor, for his family, but in us and through us? Because that's like you're jumping in the big river of God's yes. You know what I mean? You have to wonder if you should do this. This is a definite yes. What would change in our own lives, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we also, you know, learn Scripture that, yes, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But also we see in Scripture that God draws near people and places that are prayed for. Mm. Where there is prayer, the presence of God is there in a special way. And so when we understand that, then it is a no-brainer. We want to be a people of prayer. We want to be a place of prayer so that the very special manifestation of the presence of God would rest upon our lives, upon our leadership, upon our churches. And so that's one of the great blessings that I've personally experienced in the place of prayer, but also seeing our church become a place of prayer as well.
Boy, so good. Let's talk about prayers for protection. You know, the truth is we've got a very fierce enemy, and you even mentioned the fact that there are Satanists who actually target spiritual leaders and pray for their downfall. Like, in some ways, some of these Satanists are more earnest in their quote-unquote intercession against spiritual leaders than we are for them. That's just true. And our pastors are in the middle of a war zone, whether we realize it or not. So talk about just what kind of things they need protection from.
Yeah, you know, it's so important to understand that, this is spiritual warfare. And so what I encourage people to do is to really pray for protection against just evil that is out there. You know, there is so much evil that we see growing in our day and age, and especially as we get closer to the return of Christ. You know, the days will grow colder. And so we really want to pray for protection against the evil that we see in our day and age, pray against the enemy and his tactics. that is seeking to destroy, pastors, their families, and also what we also found out is, there are, as you mentioned, Satanists or other cultic groups that target, that want to curse the finances, the health, the family dynamics of pastors as well. So we really want to cover them in prayer as well. And one practical way to do that would be to really pray through the armor of God into, the pastor's life, so that that would be the covering that they would be experiencing. And when you combine our prayers with Scripture, all the more power is going to be released as we combine faith with truth.
I think Eugene Peterson calls that reverse thunder, where you pray God's word back to him. Imagine that. I've also read a couple articles. Don't know if this is true, but I would imagine it is, that ISIS has a list of key leaders in the nation that they're targeting. I mean, we do need prayer covering against evil, especially if you've got a highly influential pastor, but also protection from temptation. You cite a few stats here in the book. 70% of pastors said they have no close person to confide in. 90%, we talked about this, work more than 50 hours a week and feel their work never ends. 54% of pastors said they had viewed porn within the past year. 50% of pastors' marriages will end in divorce. 40% said they had an affair since starting ministry. And as we talked, 70% fight depression. You tell a story of a pastor who used to battle porn addiction, I think, in his young adult years, and then he overcame that. But then the stresses all these years later just kind of pressed in. And one day he decides to open a computer, a website. And just at then, at one of the computer programmers for the church stepped into his office, the computer froze, and there he was, kind of caught in the act, so to speak. His marriage ended over that, and what a devastating, devastating turn of events. And anybody who would get self-righteous needs to say, "There but for the grace of God go I." When you have enough pressure, you're capable of doing anything. But talk about that aspect, because, again, mercy triumphs over judgment. We intercede with mercy rather than standing back with our arms crossed.
Yeah, that's right. There are a lot of ways that the pressure that people would put pastors under, but also the isolation by, for some groups, elevating pastors higher than they need to. But on the flip side, too, if you criticize them and cut them down and put them down, it really puts them in a lonely position. And that can be very dangerous, because even if you look at the, the animal kingdom, when you look at, like National Geographic, films and stuff like that, when lions are attacking certain, animals, they'll always chase a huge, flock of, animals, but then they'll isolate and they attack the one who becomes alone, the one that becomes isolated, from the rest of the pack. They become the most vulnerable to attack. Because then they get ganged up upon, and then things like that. And so I think we could learn a parallel strategy of how the enemy would try to also isolate the pastor as well. So we really need to pray, into that issue, but also pray that the pastor will have accountability partners and just good friendships. And it's so surprising how few pastors have even one close friend, or someone that they could really confide all of their struggles, all of their frustrations in. And we really need that for our pastors.
Okay, we touched a bit on this, on the never-ending work week and the need to not be on call all the time. But do you want to say more about praying for their need for rest? I'm wondering if anybody's ever thought to do that, to pray for rest for your pastor, maybe deep sleep, maybe good margin. I mean, talk about just that very great need.
Yeah, as we mentioned, because pastors feel, in essence, they know, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, they're always on call. It's hard to get that real physical but also emotional rest, even for their days off. And unfortunately, some pastors I know, they don't even have a day off. So we really want to pray that God will give them sweet rest in his presence. As the Shepherd Psalm, Psalm 22 says, that sometimes he needs to make us lie down, in those green pastures. But also it reveals something important, too. It says, he restores my soul. And also, you know, when Jesus invites us to come to him, all who are weary and burdened, he says, you will find rest for your souls again. And so Scripture reveals something very important, and that is that there's a rest that can only be found in the presence of Jesus. You know, there's a rest for our soul that cannot be refreshed no matter how much sleep we get. And so we really want to pray that that restorative rest that comes from sweet, unhurried time in the presence of God would also be experienced by our pastors, definitely for their Sabbath day, but also, you know, throughout the week, so that they, because when they are really spending unhurried, sweet presence in, you know, time with the Lord, we will be blessed through their communion with the Lord, because it will overflow their intimacy, their security, their joy from their time with the Lord will overflow through their ministries. And so we will be the beneficiaries of that as well. So to pray for that kind of rest, everyone wins when that happens.
Boy, so you talked on physical rest, you talk on spiritual rest. I know you also addressed in the book emotional rest. How have you found emotional rest, Eddie? What advice do you have for those of us praying for that aspect of rest for our pastors?
Yeah, you know, I think this concept of emotional health is getting more, you know, press these days, and as it should. I think it has been neglected. And I think one of the things that I've really enjoyed learning from is Peter Scazzaro. You know, he talks a lot about emotionally healthy churches and spirituality. He says it really stems from the unhealthy emotional situation stems from when we do more for God than we receive from God. You know, and that is the tendency of ministry, you know, of minister leaders a lot, that we do so much for God that we forget to receive from God. And I think this rest period, daily and weekly and yearly, is important for pastors so that they know that the strength that we minister out of is God's strength and not our own fleshly strength. Because when we begin depending on our own flesh, our own wisdom, our own power for the supernatural work of ministry that God calls us to, that is the path to emotional burnout eventually.
Boy, talking to Pastor Eddie Bunn again, I sound like a broken record, but I'm going to say it again. I wish every Christian could read his book, Praying for Your Pastor. How Your Prayer Support Is Their Life Support. It really is an easy read. There's great stories. There's amazing stats. And just a charge for us to get into the presence of God for the sake of our pastor's health and protection and sustainability. When we come back, we're going to talk about what it means to pray for their anointing, to pray for power in their lives, and for a yielded heart. Don't go away. And all the way, by the way, I'm sorry, we've got 5 copies. I want to make sure I mention that. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address, and we will be back in a minute.
Can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Pastor Eddie Bunn from Seoul, South Korea. I've mentioned this before, but now it's about 3:15 a.m. for him. He stayed up to talk with us. I can't thank him enough. He's written such an important book, Praying for Your Pastor, How Your Prayer Support Is Their Life Support. And This is a charge for us, truly. This is a charge for us to spend some of our prayer time getting in the presence of God, interceding for our pastor, for his wife, for their children, and for the leaders that surround them. And let's talk for a moment, if we can, about praying for anointing. Say a word about that and its importance, Eddie.
Yeah, you know, when we look in Scripture, anointing is often referred to as smearing the oil when a king or a prophet is anointed into their position. They're smeared with oil, and that's what the type of anointing was marked by. And in our day and age, the way we can understand it is when we are smeared or anointed really by the presence of the Spirit through intimacy. And we really want to pray that for our leadership, that they will have such close communion with the Lord, unhurried time, that they will have intimacy that is overflowing from that secret place with the Lord. And as they are spending that time in communion with him, as I mentioned, that will affect their public life. That will affect the public ministry. So we want to pray for that kind of intimacy. And also, it's important to pray for a consecration. You know, anointing also is about setting aside something for sacred service. And that's what the pastor, his whole life is, you know, consecrated for the ministry of the Lord and for the service of the church. And so we want to pray for that kind of holy consecration that is set apart in motive, in action, in thought for the Lord. And then from that, what we see in Scripture too is when that kind of intimacy and integrity is really overflowing from communion with God, that will result in power. You know, that kind of anointing is what I like to, you know, what I say in my book is anointing is something that you know when it's there, but it's really hard to define. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard to put into words, but you know when someone is gifted or, you know, anointed in speaking or in music. You know, everyone can, you know, there can be a group of people who are gifted in playing an instrument, but also, you know, someone is anointed with that kind of gift as well. And so we want to pray for that kind of anointing to flow from the Spirit into the pastor's life and flow from the pastor's life to bless us through their ministry as well.
It's kind of like moving from regular tools to power tools. I don't know why, but it just, it's kind of an amp up, right? Well, I want to read this excerpt from your book, Praying for Your Pastor. It's beautiful. You say, pray that they'd be a people of his presence so that all encounter them will encounter the God who dwells within them. That is anointing. It is an anointing of his presence that comes through intimacy with the Lord. God is omnipresent, yes, he's everywhere. But there are times when you actually realize that you're in his holy presence and everything changes. There is fear, reverence, worship, and life change that happens in the presence of the Lord. I want to live in his presence in such a way that when I meet people, they meet God, because I'm always communing with God, because those who dwell in the presence of God are changed. That kind of intimacy results in humility and courage, clarity and focus, wisdom and insight, love and compassion. Therefore, pray for an anointing for your pastor that comes through intimacy with God. I mean, who doesn't want this for your pastor? Humility, courage, clarity, focus, wisdom, insight, love, and compassion. I mean, don't we all want to operate in that spirit, Eddie?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And it's a great gift that we give to them. And this is the kind of interesting thing about this whole concept of praying for our pastors. Like, we think that, oh, we're giving them, you know, blessings. But as we do that, in turn, we will be recipients of the blessing.
Mm. Boy, you know, another thing that sometimes you read in the headlines in the U.S. are maybe rock star pastors who rise to fame, quote unquote, which I just hate the whole idea of it, but just it's our celebrity culture, only to have that thing go to their head and they become, you know, they rule with more of an iron fist, so to speak, and it comes back to haunt them. I want you to talk about the idea of a yielded heart, because no matter what, we're building his kingdom, not ours. So speak to the importance of a yielded heart.
That's right. You know, it is so difficult in our social media age, you know, with Twitter and Facebook, and, you know, for us to see, you know, how many followers one person has and how many views another person, you know, pastor has for their sermons. And so it is a very subtle, on a very easy way, I think the enemy can really destroy ministries and ministers by gaining an arrogant heart and a prideful mind. And so one of the things I encourage people to do is to really pray that these hearts of our pastors will always be humble and sensitive and submissive to the Lord and to the Lord's leading. And that means that that heart will always be in great delight in the gospel, because I think that pride starts to happen when we begin thinking that we are the Savior and we are the center, and we forget that, no, Christ is the Savior and Christ needs to be the center. I think it was, Martin Luther who said, I need the gospel every day because I forget the gospel every day, you know? And I think we are subtly prone to wander, as the hymn says, you know, and we feel it. And so we want to be able to pray that the gospel always stays center in terms of we are desperately in need of a Savior, and we never grow out of that.
Indeed.
The gospel isn't something that is just for the beginners of Christianity, the ABCs of it. It's the A to Z. It's the fullness of Christianity when we understand our need for the gospel.
Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave this God I love. Here's my heart, or take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. That's a prayer for each and every one of us. And if it's okay with you, Eddie, we'll be praying here in a moment. But regarding the yielded heart, as we pray that for our pastor, let's pray it for ourselves too. And you make such a good point here when you write, in our faith journey, when God reveals a word for us to obey, our obedience to that word, or our lack of it, is our moment of truth. It shows what we believe about God. It shows what we think about God. It will determine whether we will see his mighty work in and through our lives. And it'll determine whether we deepen our intimacy with him. Obedience is a sign of a heart that trusts God. Hear that again. Obedience is a sign of a heart that trusts God, that we believe he knows what he's doing and he knows what is best for us. If you trust that God is good, that he loves you and he wants what's best for you, you never need to question his word for your life. God's word and his will are always right and always best. Fantastic, Eddie. Wondering as we wrap up, if you would pray for the pastors represented in our listening audience, would you pray just from your heart, knowing what they need?
Sure. Father, we thank you for your servants who have given their lives in holy, consecrated obedience to you. And we know that there's an enemy that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. Would you protect them? Would you encourage them? And above all else, God, through this program and even through the book, would you raise up more supporters, more intercessors who will love them through prayer, cover them in prayer, be their prayer shield, be their supporters, be their secret intercessors in the secret place of prayer, God. Let them know that they are not alone. And would you infuse new joy, new strength, new courage for the days ahead. And for those especially who are so discouraged and feel like quitting, would you breathe new life and speak truth into their heart so that they would know that you are for them, you are not against them, and that you will never let them go. Mm. So God, we do pray prayers of blessing, strengthening, encouragement for all the pastors especially on this day. And in Jesus' name we pray.
And Father, I pray for Eddie, who would stay up till the middle of the night, earliest of mornings, to be with us. Would you bless him in mind, body, and spirit? Keep him, Lord, under the shadow of your wing. I pray you'd redeem this time that he's given to us. And I pray, God, that you tend to the deepest desires of his heart. Help Eddie and help every pastor from one end of the earth to the other. Help them to last long and finish strong, Lord. We love you. We thank you for this time. In your name.
Amen.
Amen. Eddie, thank you for this time. I can't thank you enough for all that you're doing, and I just pray God's best on you and your family.
Oh, thank you so much. I was really blessed by our time together. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah. I don't know if you're going to bed or having a cup of coffee and now just staying up, but either way, have a blessed rest of what's happening with your night and morning. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be a radio missionary. We've made it very easy for you. With a click of a button, you can send today's program out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. If you've got friends who are Christians, then they need to be praying for their pastors. Truly, send this one out and charge and encourage your friends. pray for your pastor. And I love that you listened today. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.